Our gospel today is from the book of Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew. We began with Jesus being baptized, driven in the wilderness. He started healing and proclaiming, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." And then as crowds started following him, he sat down with his disciples on a mountain to teach them, about this kingdom of heaven. Hear now the gospel, Matthew chapter 5, beginning with verse 21. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said, "You have heard that it was said to those in ancient times, 'You shall not murder,' or 'Whoever murders is liable for judgment.' But I say to you, you shall not be angry. When you are angry with a brother or sister, you are liable to judgment. When you insult a brother and sister, you are liable to the council. And when you say, 'You fool,' to a brother or sister, you are liable to Gehenna. When you go to the altar to give an offering, if you remember that someone has something against you, leave your offering there at the altar and go. First, be reconciled with your accuser while you're on the way to court. Once you are reconciled with your brother or sister, then come and give your offering at the altar. Be quick to reach terms of agreement, to settle accounts on your way to the judge. Otherwise, your accuser may hand you over to the judge, who will hand you over to the guard, and then you'll be thrown into prison. And truly, I tell you, you will never leave prison until you pay every last penny. You have heard it said, 'You shall not commit adultery.' But I say to you, whoever looks upon a woman with lust in his heart, he has already committed adultery. If your eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. For it is better to lose a member than to have your whole body go to Gehenna. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. For it is better to lose a member than to have your body thrown into Gehenna. You've also heard it said to those of old times, 'If a man divorces a woman, he shall give her a writ of divorce.' But I say to you, whoever divorces his wife, except on grounds of unchastity, causes her to commit adultery. And whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Again, you have heard it said to those in ancient times, 'Do not swear falsely, but keep your word, keep your vows that you have made to the Lord.' But I say, do not swear at all, either by heaven, which is the throne of God, or by the earth, which is God's footstool, or by Jerusalem, which is the city of God. Do not even swear by your head, for which of you can make one hair black or white? Let your words be yes, yes, or no, no. Anything more is of the evil one." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. I invite the children to head on out to Word for Children. Today they're reading a story called Ish. And also hearing the story from the story Bible about how Jesus teaches about anger. Anybody else heading out? Folks are thinking about it. Just this last week, Pastor Law and I were watching MasterChef Junior Edition. It's, you know, it's a cooking show, and this is, it was the very first episode of this new season. And so the Junior Edition are children, I think like 6 to 12 or 13, young children who then are competing. Right now they're competing to be one of the top 20 that then get to compete in MasterChef. And so there's a young man who made it to the top 20. And he came out carrying his apron. He said, "This is for all those who said I would never do anything." Did he really say what I thought he could? Yeah. "To all those who said I could never do anything." Words can kill. Words can kill. We've all heard about online bullying. Typically it seems to be young girls who have committed suicide simply because all the words that were aimed at them online and also at school somehow stuck and had them telling themselves that life was not worth living. Life was not worth living because life was so cruel and hard. What a reality to live in, and what a tragedy that it caused and continues to cause people to take their life. Words can kill. Words can kill off futures. It can kill off possibility. It can kill lives. In today's gospel, Jesus has several teachings about the kingdom of heaven. And I'm going to focus on the first one where he says, "You've heard it said, you shall not commit murder." And what he does right off the bat is he connects murder with anger, with insults, and calling people fools. Jesus knows the power of words and how words can kill. Words can create anger and hatred within people such that they speak other words that kill, but also they may even take arms and weapons and literally kill bodies. A couple of weeks ago, there was the shooting at the mosque in Quebec. And this week, I heard about the funeral where the victims were honored and remembered. And after the imam, his name was Imam Hassan Gillette. I hope I'm saying that right. My French is not very good. But after he named and talked about the victims, their names were Azzedine Sufiani, Mamadou Tanu Berry, Khaled Mokassimi, Abu Bakr Tabti, Ibrahim Aberi, and Nadro Kim Hassan. After he talked about them and their lives and the impact it was having on their community and their families, he continued with this. He said, "There is still one victim. None of us want to talk about him. But given my age, I have the courage to say it. This victim, his name is Alexandre Bissonnette. Alexandre, before being a killer, he was a victim himself. Before planting his bullets in the heads of his victims, somebody planted ideas more dangerous than the bullets in his head." I find in these words truth and wisdom. He goes on to say that Alexander didn't get up that morning and just on a whim decide he's going to go take some lives. It was a culmination of many conversations, many words, many things that had been told to him, such that in his mind, the script that was playing, the words that were speaking to him, made it so clear that Muslims were a danger, that he needed to do something about it. You can almost feel the anger or fear or terror, whatever it was in his heart, that drove him to go and take the lives of people whom he had never met. Words can kill. And in the case of this, words can kill became bullets that killed. This did not happen in a vacuum, and it is not a new thing. Dictators, oppressors, people who have done tremendous atrocities have somehow created a reality for the people that follow them that there is some evil that needs to be fought against, there's somebody that needs to be blamed or scapegoated, that they need to get into action to work against it. And Jesus was no stranger to this. Certainly there were people who heard his words of life like the disciples and followed him, but there were also people who, for whatever reason, it was just too hard for them to hear. They were too attached to their power. They thought he was a troublemaker. Whatever it was, spread words. Used words to create reality such that the mob there in Jerusalem shouted, "Crucify him." And those words that were circulated put Jesus on the cross. We talk about how, you know, Jesus died on the cross, but really, he was killed in the hearts and minds of the people who called for his death. Words can kill. They put Jesus on the cross. And while Jesus was on the cross, looking out over those people whose actions, whose conversations, whose words had put him there, he said, "Forgive them, for they know not what they do. Forgive them, for they know not what they do." In the midst of a death-dealing conversation, Jesus spoke words of life. There are many times when, I get angry, frustrated, irritated, feel like I'm being attacked, feel like people are out to get me, and my first impulse is always to strike back. It always is. Ever since my brother would call me a name, boy, I was just going to go after him. That's always my first impulse. And very often, I regret to say, sometimes I do strike back. I mean, I don't hit anybody. But I'll say those little barbs, those little words that somehow dish back a little bit of what I've gotten. But occasionally, sometimes, in the midst of that anger, irritation, feeling like I've got to strike back, defend myself, give back what I feel people are doing to me, somehow, sometimes, I'm able to entertain a thought. And that thought is, they're doing the best they can. They're doing the best that they can. And when I'm able somehow for that thought to be entertained in the midst of all the anger and all the emotion, all the things I want to do, if I sit and consider that, I find that I'm able to dissipate so much of that, what I would call negative feeling. Because When I see them as a pure attacker, as pure evil, as somebody I've got to strike back against, then I'm fully enraged and my emotions are all there and I'm ready to take action. But when I consider that thought and I start thinking about why they might be doing this and why they think this might be a good idea, all of a sudden it's like a different part of my brain gets engaged. Instead of the 5 or 6-year-old brain that wants to fight back, it's the 56-year-old brain that actually has the ability to come up with a rational, responsible response to what's going on. Martin Luther said it a little bit differently in the explanation of the Eighth Commandment, which you all know, right? You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. I shouldn't do that to you. But in his explanation, the last thing he says is what it means to take that commandment seriously is to put the best possible construction on what your neighbor says and does. There's different translations. Another one says to interpret it in the most favorable way. Or another one says to view it in the best possible light. These are all the same vein of what Jesus modeled for us on the cross. Forgive them, for they know not what they do. Because emotions happen to us. And there are times when emotions take us over. But it's also true that emotions can be led by your thoughts. And it is the thoughts that lead you to anger or that can lead you otherwise. There is so much death-dealing conversation in the world. There was in Jesus' time, there what is now. 2,000 years ago, God spoke a word of unconditional love, a word of life into that death-dealing conversation there in the Middle East, in Jerusalem. And the name of that conversation was Jesus Christ. God spoke that word of life, that word of love, and he became flesh and walked and talked and healed and preached. And everywhere Jesus went, instead of a death-dealing conversation, what came out of his mouth and out of his heart was a life-bringing conversation. He brought words of hope, words of forgiveness, words of healing, words of salvation, words of grace. We call that the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. Today, God is speaking a word of grace, of truth, of love, of forgiveness, a word of life. And the name of that word is the church. We are the people whom God has called, that God has entrusted God's life-giving message to. In this world, where there is death-dealing conversation, where there's conversations about racism, bigotry, and hatred, and anti-Semitism, anti-Islamism, all the isms, where there's so much that is going around that wants to take away life, that wants to take people and diminish them down to a label so that we can even kill them or disregard them. Conversations where we say these people are more valuable than these people. All these conversations that objectify and dehumanize, that kill people. They're all around us. But God has called the church to bring life, to bring words of life into this conversation. When we are able to, instead of act out of anger, to act out of compassion, out of concern, out of understanding, when we say those magic words, I forgive you, or even better, forgive me, life happens, buds, and grows. When we take the time and notice that we're interacting with a label and let go of that and actually see the person that's there in front of us and really listen and understand, we are bringing words of life. When we take the effort to get to know people that we want to label strangers as enemies, as not worth the time, when we take the time, risk getting into relationship, finding about their lives, getting in touch with their humanity, we bring words of life to a death-dealing conversation. God spoke a word of life named Jesus Christ. God, through us, hungers, calls, desires to speak that word of life. 2,000 years ago, the world needed a word of life. Today, the world needs a word of life. Words can kill, but words can bring life. Amen.